Good words, huh? Be still, my soul. Your God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. That's something that amazed the disciples there in the boat. Jesus with them asleep in the storm, and they come, we're dying, we're dying. And Jesus stills the waves, and they're like, who is this that can still the storm? The very winds and waves respond to him. And that's the greatness of our God, the one we serve. And we'll be with him at last. One day, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. That's our future. And so let's be faithful to him as we await that day. There's the call of the New Testament, Maranatha, you know, to come quickly, Lord. We want him to come. But until he does, and while we have breath, until he takes us, we want to serve him. We want to be faithful. And in doing that, we're going to find some challenges from time to time. I've been thinking a lot, and some of the people that I like to listen to who both comment theologically and biblically, but also look at the occasions of our day and talk about what's happening in the day and time in which and what it mean as we're waiting for God to do what God's going to do. There's always potential challenges ahead for Christians. We know that in this world we'll have tribulation. Jesus told us that very clearly. But that we can take heart because he overcame the world. We're also told that everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If you're like me, sometimes as a Christian, I'm like, come on, give me a break. I'm just trying to follow the Lord here. I'm just trying to please what he's doing. The world doesn't have any patience for that. The world can be tolerant just about everything but the truth and everything but the God that we serve. And yet serve him we must, and his truth we must follow, and his will we must pursue, even if that means trouble for us. Jesus said, I'm just doing the will of my Father. Everything that the Father told me to do, I'm doing it. And they really wanted to kill him, and did, eventually. And through a sham trial and false charges and lying witnesses, they accused him and convicted him and executed him. We're not better than our Master. They did that to him. As he said, they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. The Master's greater, so they're not going to care about doing it to you. But we serve him, and he has overcome the world, and our kingdom is certain to come, and our reward is definite. What we have stored up for us in heaven is imperishable, can't be taken away. Here, we live in a world where, as the scripture says, rust destroys and moth eats, right? Moth and rust destroy. And stuff here in this life wears out. We wear out. We grow old and die. But God remains. And to those to whom he grants eternal life, we remain in that condition with him. And that's good. So I want to give our attention today to Psalm, the book of Psalms. We're going to take a little break from Romans. I know I promised last time that we'd go and do part two of what we started last time with how to exercise our liberties and how to deal with weaker brothers in faith. We'll get back to that. But I wanted today to look at this psalm with you, Psalm 27. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the Old Testament hymn book, if you will, and we're going to look at this psalm. And really, because I read this psalm recently, as a part of, with John's memorial yesterday and, Jackie's coming this week, been looking at related to, encouraging us in the face of, trouble, death, sorrow, grief, and was reminded of this verse in the first verse in Psalm 27. And so I want to look at this psalm today because I think that will encourage us. And I want to look at four encouragements that I believe this psalm, things that we need to keep in mind, think about. But let's read the psalm together first. Father, as we come to your word today, we ask for your help and for your blessing. We need help because it's the Spirit of God that leads us into truth. And if we don't have spiritual eyes, we can't discern spiritual things. So we know we have to be saved people to understand the scriptures well. But sometimes, Lord, we don't always listen, and maybe our hearts are harder than they should be, and we're not humble of spirit. So grant us today, God, a humility before you, and help us to want to glean from the Word of God the good things that you have for us. We know that you know what we need, and so bless us as we consider this part of the Word of God. Help us in it. Let us hear and let us do as pleases you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We don't know what kind of things will come for us in these days, and maybe we'll be largely protected. No Christian ever does. In the history of the church, Christians have always faced adversity as promised. In this world of darkness, the light is not desired. It's rejected. And unless the Lord intervenes, there is rejection. Unless the Lord intervened for you and I, we would still be resisting Christ. I remember, some of you will remember him. Man, J.D. Despain came out to our church for a few years. He's been gone now several years. But one of the things that was exciting about what the Lord did with, but one of the things that was exciting about what the Lord did with J.D. was that the Lord saved him at 75. And he came to our church when he was about 77, 78, something like that. It was for him. He had some relatives from the East who were believers. And after the service, they came up to me and they were thanking me for the service. But they said, you know, we remember when J.D. got converted because we used to witness to him all the time. And he would say, I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. I don't want to hear about it. Stop talking to me. So when he got converted, it was a big deal for them. And one of the wonderful things about that particular memorial service was J.D. had told me, he said, Pastor, lots of people in my family don't know the Lord. I want you to let them have it. And so I had basically his permission. And it's probably the only funeral that I've leaned over the pulpit pointing at people because I could say, you knew what a scoundrel he was for 75 years, and you know how the Lord changed him, and it was dramatic. And I said, and some of you need to quit your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. And I let him have it. You know, that was what he asked me to do. And that was kind of fun. That was the testimony of J.D. But there was that kind of fearlessness that he had in his family. He had been rotten. But he knew the Lord, and he could go to them. And he used to go out and over on Hatch Avenue and sit at outside the strip stores that are over there. Not stripper stores, but the strip mall where there's lots of stores is what I meant. He would go out there in the parking lots, and he'd drive around on his little, you know, scooter and pass out tracts and try to talk to people and witness to them. I didn't ever know he did that. And he would come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I need to be busy while I can. What can I do? And he would come and maybe most of you don't know that he would come early Sunday mornings before Sunday school. And I'd meet him because he just wanted to pray with me for the service that day. We'd pray and he'd go home. Sometimes he wouldn't stay for the first hour, but he'd come back. But he prayed for our church. You know, but that was all the Lord in his life. And this is the way it is when we are remembering who the Lord is. The Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? And it doesn't mean that we need to act arrogantly. We're to be humble people and loving people, right? You know, what we have now in Christ, we didn't deserve. It's a gift. And the Master has gladly given it to us because he wants us to slave for him. So we know our spot. We're the servant. Sometimes we're going to be treated like the servant because we are. And that's okay because we belong to the Lord. And we're seeking to please him and to live for him. But while there may be a lot of things out there that will oppose us, we don't have to fear. Because we know the Lord. The Bible talks about fear. The New Testament says, don't fear people that can kill you. And it says it this way, don't fear those who can destroy the body. But where does your fear need to be? Fear the one who can destroy body and soul. That's where our allegiance is. That's who we need to be attention to. But in this psalm, particularly, it's addressing when we have that which opposes us, whether it be people or situations or whatever it is, there are, as it says in verse 2, evildoers want to devour my flesh, my adversaries, my enemies. This is what I have against me. Perhaps people that are against us. And we may find ourselves in odds with people. It's increasingly difficult to live for Christ. There are certain truths that our society is rejecting now as being legitimate and true. And so righteousness now is starting to be criminalized, starting to be difficult for us. If we take a biblical stand, for instance, on homosexuality, we don't do so because we're filled with hate. We do so because God has says, this is what I want of my creatures, and this is what I don't want for my creatures. One is acceptable to God, and some things are not acceptable to God. But when we declare the truth, we will be considered haters, enemies. That's just part of following Christ in our particular day. There's always been those things. Your boss at work wants you to be a little dishonest to help him out. The Christian has to say, well, I guess my job's going to have to be at risk here because I can't participate in dishonesty. I'm a Christian. There's always those kinds of things. There's always that goes on. And some things are, well, increasing against the truth, even in the day that we live. We see this, we understand this, we know that kind of thing is coming. I remember being at a pastor's conference probably 10 years ago now. The first time there was a pastor there speaking, and he had a church in Washington, D.C., and there was a lot of people connected to, Washington, D.C. legislature and working in whether it be supporting roles. And I'll never forget that he said, gentlemen, speaking to a room full of a couple thousand preachers, he said, gentlemen, prepare for prison. That was one of the encouragements I got from that conference. It was actually an encouraging time, but there was that kind of thing. And we have a tendency to think, certainly not. We'll never see it. We don't know. But there are things that even you all, as faithful Christians, have found difficult. Some of your family members have a hard time with you because you're trying to live for Christ. Some of the people that you used to be connected to before you knew Christ, they have a hard time. Oh, are you with me now? Or whatever those kinds of things are. That comes as a part of it. But we need to continue to love, and we need to continue to be humble and declare the truth when we can. We need God's wisdom. We don't always want to throw our pearls before swine, the scripture says. The gospel is precious to us. We don't always want to throw it out there and see people trample over it and give us that. But we need God's grace. And now's the moment that I need to share the truth. Now's the moment where maybe I need to wait. Now, we need God's help with that. We don't need to be afraid. We want to be bold. We don't need to think that maybe I shouldn't say anything. We want to be ready to give an account of the hope that's within us. All of those things come into play, but we want to be faithful. So there's going to be those kinds of oppositions. And this psalm, I believe, is a big help for us. Let's look at it again, verse 1. The Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life, who shall my dread? And notice here, if your Bible's like mine, then the word Lord has all capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's a sign in most of our modern English Bibles that what's being said here is actually the name of God, Yahweh. There's another word for Lord, Adonai. It's the word for Lord or Master. But this is God's personal name, and the way that the publishers of our Bibles help us to know when it's the personal name of God is when we see all of those letters capitalized. And so here, it's like saying, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? The idea is when we have the personal name of God, which the people of Israel did, who's the one that rescued us from Egypt? Yahweh. Who's the one that provided for us in the wilderness? Well, Yahweh did that. The nations whom God was judging and driving out, what did they say? It's the God of Israel. We fear you because of your God. their God. They knew him personally, Yahweh. And so David is saying, I know God. I know him personally. Yahweh is my God, and Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Who am I going to fear? Yahweh is my defense, or the defense for my life. Or what you could say is, if he's the place of safety, he's the place of refuge, he's my protection. That's the idea of the defense of my life. Yahweh is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? He's my light and my salvation. He lets me see and rescues me, delivers me, puts me in safety. He gives me all welfare, and he is my refuge. Who am I going to pray of? The first thing I'd like us to just remember this morning is because of the Lord, we need not fear. You know him personally. You are in covenant relationship. That was the idea of God giving the Old Testament people his name, Yahweh. So I'm in covenant with Yahweh. We've made an arrangement. He's made an arrangement to do good to us. We know God. He's made a covenant with us to do good to us because we believe in the name of the Son and we follow the Lord Jesus with our whole heart, and God is intending good to us, right? We know this. We learned it in Romans, with chapter 8 of Romans. For God causes all things to work together for good, all things for good. Why? To those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Those whom he loves and he's called to be busy with the things that he has in mind for them, his purposes. He's going to do good. So whether something great is going on in your life, he's intending that for good eternally. Whether something rough is going on in your life, maybe terrible in your life, he's going to be causing that to be ultimately good because he loves you and he's called you for his purposes. God's made a commitment to us. He has made a covenant to us. And like David, we call upon the name of the Lord. We know him. If I know God, and he's my light and my salvation, what have I got to fear? If he's the one that provides refuge for me, who am I going to be in dread by? The idea of being dread is a fun Old Testament word for shaking or trembling. Why are you shaking? It's not because you're cold, it's because I'm afraid. That's the idea. Who am I going to shake over? Who am I going to tremble for? Well, no one, because you know Yahweh, you know the one true God, and you have a covenant relationship with him. He intends good for you. What do you have to worry about? When we know the Lord, when we come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, then we belong to the one who is our light and our salvation, the one who is our refuge. We don't have to fear any. Well, Pastor, but there's some fearful things out there for Christians to face. Yeah, there are. But what's the worst they can do? Well, Pastor, they could kill me. Yeah, but what happens then? I with the Lord. Right. That's the best place for us. That's going to be the ultimate place that we go. Even if you have the longest life possible, how many years are you going to live? You realize for most of us, we don't even get 100 Christmases. When I was a kid, I used to think, oh, Christmas, I can't wait for it, you know. And when you're young, you think, how many Christmases I got ahead of me? Must be a million. We don't even get 100, most of us. Life is short. We're told that our lives are like a vapor. It's just like, you know, you breathe out the cold. There it is. Oh, it's gone. There it is. Oh, it's gone. That's our lives. The Bible says it's like the flower in the field. Which I didn't get. I grew up in the East Coast, right? Where it was, you know, green everywhere. And we had lots of, but when I first moved to Southern California, and that's the climate, more like Israel, actually. And that was the idea. The rain happens, and what happens? The flowers spring up everywhere. 2 weeks later, it's all brown again. Right? That's the picture of the scripture. That's our lives. Like that. And then it's eternity with the Lord. Now, we might have a long earthly life, but our existence will go on and on and on in eternity. Don't you want to serve the Lord? Don't you want to be with the Lord? What can they really do to you? They might take this earthly life, but it's forfeit already. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. You see, that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. I'll surrender this life for the sake of my Lord. And we just remembered this morning that he surrendered his life for our sakes. Right? But we know the Lord. What can they do? They can't really destroy me. I'm going to live forever. And so right now, if God allows me to suffer for him, even if he allows them to take my life, then I want to serve the Lord. And Paul said, for me to live, if I'm breathing, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. It's better. It's an improvement. It's where I want to be. And it's hard for us sometimes because some of us have very good lives here. We have a lot of people that love us and we have some nice things and there's a lot of things that we enjoy. And God has given us this life to enjoy the blessings that he gives. But we're not meant for this life. We're sojourners. We're passing through. We don't stay forever. And in fact, if you spend all your time building up treasure in this world, the scripture says that's not really wise. Instead, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things on earth, that'll take care of those. But make sure you know where your treasure is. Because this life is passing away. And so we need to remember, because of the Lord and who he is and our relationship with him, we don't have any reason to fear. Now, you might have reason to fear if you don't have a relationship with the Lord. But David's whole point here is, I know Yahweh. I'm in relationship. I've got covenant relationship with him. Who am I going to fear? He's for me. And we know in Romans, who can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from the love? Can death? Can peril? Can the sword? Can somebody come after us? None of that. Not even death can separate us from the love of God for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Because of the Lord, we need not fear. Number two, we're safe because we are fully with him. Verse 4 in our psalm. One thing I have asked from Yahweh that I will seek. I'm going after it. I'm asking for it. I'm going after it. This is my purpose. That I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to meditate in his temple. Understand the desire here is to be with the Lord in his dwelling place. Where the Lord is, that's where I want to be. One thing I've asked of Yahweh that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. See the motivation here. To behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to go and be where God is so I can appreciate how great he is. You know, when we talk about the things of the Lord, or we think about heaven, if we're tempted to think, what am I going to do in heaven? Won't it get a little boring after a couple million years? We don't understand the delights of God. He's eternal. And he's eternally glorious. We're never going to explore it enough. It'll never be over. There's always greatness and gladness and rejoicing for. And David's heart here is, I want to be with the Lord that I might enjoy him and continue to get to know him. Now, some of you like to read. I like to read some books. And I'm always sad on a novel that I've enjoyed when I get to the end. I start reading really slowly that last chapter because I just don't want this fun time to end. I don't want to leave the characters behind. I've enjoyed that. But it ends. and I'm looking for the next. Imagine reading the most enjoyable novel ever, and it's not stopping. That's some of the idea. Now, some of you aren't readers, so you don't know what I'm talking about or don't like novels, and that's okay. But the idea is still what God provides that is a delight to David is something that has the promise of never being over. So while I'm alive, now here's the thing, is in eternity, we're going to be forever with him. But David's today, I'm not waiting. Right now, while I'm alive, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord so I might appreciate his glories. And right now in our world, we see a lot of things that aren't very glorious, that aren't very godly. And how refreshing it is when we look into the Word of God and learn something about him. Or we're reminded about he's so kind. And I feel terrible about the sin that I just involved myself with, but I have complete forgiveness. When we're reminded of God's mercies and kindness, isn't that refreshing? Or maybe we haven't violated it, but we're still reminded of what's to come. And yeah, I get a little tired and weary. For older people, we start to see our bodies coming apart. Things don't function like they used to. I wish I could still do. What do I have to look forward to? But I get to be with the Lord. And there is, I still remember Warren Wright, Alice's husband, sat in my office one time. And he looked at me and he said, you know what, Pastor, I really started loving reading the Bible. I'm just glad to read the Bible. And it wasn't bragging or anything like that. It was like, isn't this interesting? I just have this desire to keep reading the Bible, you know? And I think he was gone within two or three years from that. But what that reminded me of, the Lord does that, doesn't he? Just gives us a longing to be home, a longing to be with him. We want to, and David's saying, listen, I want to be in the presence of the Lord and to know him more and more. That's where I want to be. And Christians, that's what we want. If you don't have a longing and an affection for the Lord, then start reading his word and start praying, because he wants to be number one in your life. He doesn't want second place to anyone or anything. He wants to be your heart's desire. That's the way we serve him with all of our lives and our hearts. And don't we owe him our very existence? You know, it's sin and sinfulness that wants us to be distant from the Lord. But it's righteousness and goodness that wants us to be close. Days of my life to behold the beauty of Yahweh, to meditate in his temple. What is he meditating upon? Yahweh. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Being close to God serves the purpose of putting me up on a high, safe place. Is David expecting that his enemies won't be around there? But no, but there's the comfort of being with the Lord and knowing that if I'm with the Lord, I'm the safest place that I can be. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Yahweh. That's what I really want. There might be enemies around me, but we've already discussed that the enemies are going to fall. God can take care of that. He's a refuge. Who am I going to fear? But I want to be with the Lord, and I want to be connected with the Lord and thinking about the Lord and dwelling with the Lord and singing his praises and enjoying him. Because you know what? If you're about that, and your enemies get you, you go from praising the Lord here to praising the Lord there. You don't miss a beat, and it just gets better. This is the way of this psalm, like a poem, to encourage, hey, be desiring the Lord. Go chasing after him. Delight in him. Now, there's a lot of things that we can be excited about, but it's, if you're like me, it takes quite a lot to get me to burst into song because I'm so happy. Like, I don't know if I've ever just burst into song because I'm happy. I've yelled out, like, woohoo, right, or something like that. But I guess that's kind of singing, a little bit, a short version. But you know, here is the idea of I'm so delighted and enraptured with God that I can't contain myself. I just say, don't we experience that sometimes as we sing in church and we hear a line in the song that just reminds us of something so very good and precious to us about the Lord and we sing it out? Right? This is what David's talking about. We want to desire the Lord in that kind of way. We're safe because we're fully with him. Number three. We seek him and we long for him to seek us. We're seeking him, but we long for him to seek us. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. So I'm wanting you to hear me. I want you to respond to my cry. God, I want you to be one who's attentive to me. That's a good desire for the believer. And then verse 8, it's a little cumbersome, maybe. Like the way my version translated it. I'm not a Bible scholar, so I don't want to be harsh on the people that did this. But in my version, it says, when you said, seek my face. I think they're trying to make sense of maybe what's a difficult English way to render what the Hebrew says, but I would put it this way. In my heart, to you, my heart says, seek my face. I think that's the first phrase. There's not the Lord saying, seek my face. It's us saying, Lord, seek my, I want you to look at me and pay attention to me. That's the context, right? Verse 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice and be gracious to me and answer me, seek my face is what my heart is calling out. So I think that's it. My heart says to you, seek my face. And then your face, Lord, I'm seeking. I want you to seek my face. And Lord, I'm certainly seeking your face. What's the desire here in the psalm? I think the desire is, Lord, I'm longing for you to give your attention to me. And I am seeking your attention too. This is, you know, a desire for close relationship. I live 3,000 miles away from my parents and my sisters. And I get to see them maybe twice every 3 years. And I don't like being that far away from I want to see them. But when I get to see them, we can phone call. We can even do the Skype whatever now and see faces, which is nice. But to be with them and to, you know, see them face to face, that's a delight. I want to do that. I don't want it to be so long in between times. But when the Lord's precious to us, what's that good desire? Lord, I want you to seek my face and I'm seeking your face. I want to be intimately in your presence. This is a good and right desire for the Christian to have. We want to be close to the Lord and in this way. Lord, hear my cry. Seek my face. I'm seeking your face. I think this is what's being said. We're longing to see him and we're longing to have him seek us out. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. That's why I think he's saying, seek my face. Don't hide it from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. And there's times where, you know, we do stuff. And we know, yeah, the Lord's probably not happy with that. But what do you do? I don't want to be at odds with you, Lord. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. You're my only hope. If you turn away from me, what's going to become of me? So we're crying out to the Lord. And the Lord is gracious. Right? The Lord is kind to us. Again, what's being said, O Yahweh, I'm seeking your face. Don't turn away from me. You're the Yahweh, hear my voice. You're the God of my salvation. I have a claim on you in our covenant relationship to see your face and you to see mine. Not because God owes us, but because he's promised it. If we are indeed in covenant relationship with him, but we don't want that relationship to be parted. And so the question for us in the psalm is then, is that our attitude? Are we content to have things come into our life that would interfere with our relationship with God. Because the psalmist is going to say, hey, you got enemies around and about you. What you really need is an intimate connection with God. You need to be pursuing it, and you need to be asking. Now, is God trying to hold out on us? No. But it's helpful for us to learn to ask him. You know, the book of James says, you do not have because you do not ask. The scriptures are clear, right? That God knows our needs before we even ask, right? He knows our, then why does he want us to pray? If he already knows, why do I need to pray? Because he wants us to ask. Why? Because our asking is a recognition, Lord Almighty, I'm dependent upon you. You're the Almighty One, and I have a need, and I'm coming to you for it. It's good for us to recognize our dependency upon him so that we can be grateful and serve him and know God doesn't owe me anything, but I know who to go to when I need. And so David says here, do not abandon me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. And then verse 10, which is interesting, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And I know that I'm absolute on this one, but I'm thinking this might be mom and dad are gone. Mom and dad are gone. They may not want to, but they left. And those who I look to for my care and my comfort and my protection, they're not around. But you, Lord, you're never going to depart. You're always going to be there with me. You're going to be who you are, and you don't go away. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but Yahweh will take me up. You don't ever have to worry about the Lord's departure. He's always with us. He's always got us. He'll take us up. We seek him and we long for him to seek us. Number four, last one. We must learn to wait for the Lord. We must learn to wait for the Lord. Verse 11, teach me your way, Yahweh. And lead me in a level path because of my foes. I need to understand your way about these things. Level things out. My foes are around me. Help me to have a straight way to go. Not ground that's uneven, but is smoothed out for me. Lead me in a level path because of my foes. They're making it hard on me. I'm asking you to not make it hard on me. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, lying against me, and such as breathe out violence, they lie and they intend my hurt. And then verse 13, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. All this would be overwhelming. I need protection from my adversaries. Don't deliver me over to them because they're lying and they to do violence, and this would be too much unless I had believed I would see the goodness of Yahweh. Because I know who you are, and because I know what you promised to me, Lord, and because I have this relationship with you, this covenant relationship with you, even though those things are frightening and I would have been tempted I'm confident because I know you. I'm helped because I know you. Unless I believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, this to me is an encouragement. David's problems were very real time and in his normal life like we live. And he says, even in this life, even in this world, I can have hope that God will. Now, ultimately, our hope's not in this world, right? In this day or in this time. We know ultimately we're going to be with the Lord in eternity. But God is good, isn't he, to even in the present time to give us comfort and help and to know that even in these days, we can see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I may not have all the goodness of God realized in my life and my enemies might seem to be heaven, but I'm secure. And even now in the time of distress, I can know some of the goodness of the Lord because ultimately what's promised to me is all good. and he's going to overcome my enemies for me, and I'm in relationship with him. Whom should I fear? Whom should I dread? It could be overwhelming, but I have believed in the goodness of Yahweh. And so verse 14 then, in light of that then, wait for Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. There's things to endure and there's going to be a battle, but wait for the Lord. Because the Lord's not going to fail. And he might deliver you presently in this life, but he might wait and deliver you in eternity. Either way, the Lord has you. And so we wait upon the Lord. Either we wait for his help right now, or we wait upon him knowing that he's coming back for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. He said, he even said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I've gone to a place for you, so there where I am, you can be also. It's a sure thing with the Lord. There's no, oops, I guess that didn't work out. No, it always works out when God has made the promise. And we need to learn to wait upon him. Wait for it. May not all work out the way we think it should present time, but he's promised that the final time is going to be good for us. And that's our hope. And so we want to learn to wait for the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. And it's easy to wait upon the Lord when we've devoted ourselves to being in his temple and being in his presence and delighting in his things and rejoicing in him and celebrating that relationship. A little trial in the present life doesn't seem so terrible when we know that we're with him forever and ever. Wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Trust him. He's going to make good on his promises to us. Let's pray.